Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started once again with Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you and to give you praise. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, this day we pray over these Colossians prayers over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and it is in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we want to pick up where we left off yesterday. We've been talking about the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and one of them was, you know, we looked at the approach that he has, what his mission was, and his attributes being that he's the oil of joy. He's also referred to as the oil of gladness. We saw that the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, he's the one who pours out the love of God in us so that we can not only fulfill Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, but also be able to, he enables us to stand on this platform of love on which all the laws and the commandments function. Of course, Matthew 6:33 is very important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things shall be added unto us. One of the things I said yesterday is that this requires investment of time, of resources, of everything. In order for us to see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives, one key thing has to be our investment in the Word of God. We have to spend the time in the Word. A lot of times, you know, people want the blessing, they want the manifestation of the promises, but they don't want to do what it takes to actually get those promises to manifest in their lives. And so again, seeking God is super important. We were looking at the fact that, you know, because I'm talking about the anointing, that when there's power in this anointing, and when you are anointed with the Holy Ghost, you find that your praise life changes. This is where I left off yesterday, that, you know, the Holy Spirit enables us to have a higher dimension of praise in the heart. If you remember John 16, verse 14, we read that yesterday. Jesus says he will honor and glorify me because he will take of or receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. We see that at Pentecost, the Bible says that the apostles were speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And this is one of the comforters, you know, assignments or missions, to give us a supernatural enabling to praise God in the midst of difficult situations. Because if you recall that time, the rulers of that day were going after even the apostles after, you know, they had crucified Jesus. And so these the apostles were hiding in the upper room. And so, of course, it was a difficult situation for them because they had been walking around with Jesus freely. And now that he had ascended unto the Father, they, you know, couldn't walk out there freely. And remember, he told them to wait before they could go out and, you know, become witnesses for him, effective witnesses. They had to be clothed with power from on high. They had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost, with the power from on high. Amen. And so we see that during that time, they were in the upper room and they were praising God and they were glorifying God. And that's what, you know, provoked the Holy Spirit to come down and, you know, to show up in the manner that he did. Amen. And then he, you know, rested upon each one of them. The anointing, you know, that rested upon each one of them looked like it was tongues of fire. Amen. So he released that power upon them, which is what enabled them to now go out there and do what they were called to do, the assignments that Jesus had left them. So I'm still talking about the power of the anointing, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit's enabling. This anointing is an enabling in order to do certain things. So yesterday I shared about the fact that, you know, the Holy Spirit, of course, gives us that supernatural enabling to praise God. And when this happens, God's presence is invoked. If you recall, the Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, when the enemy armies came against them, he appointed singers to sing praises to God after they had received the prophetic word. And the Bible tells us that, you know, the Lord set ambushments against their enemies in 2 Chronicles 20:20. So what happened when the presence of God, when they were releasing high praises to God, God's presence came down and caused, and in fact, the Bible says it discomfited their enemies. They even thought that they were now fighting. They didn't realize they were fighting against each other. Amen. So God's presence converts the battles of life to a walk over for you and I when we, you know, when we get into, or, you know, when we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to praise God qualitatively. Amen. And so the same thing we see happen for Paul and Silas when they were in the inner dungeon. They began to pray and then sing aloud and praise God. After that, you know, God, the presence of God was invoked and there was an earthquake. The prison doors flung open, their chains fell off. And so we remember that the prison guard even wanted to kill himself because of that, and Paul had to stop him and said, "We are all here, we haven't left." But that's how, you know, this prison guard and his entire household also received you know, salvation after seeing what God had done. Well, when they prayed in their situation before their execution, you know, nothing seemed to happen. But then when they began to praise, that's when God came down from his throne. And, you know, we saw the results. So God arrived on the scene because of the high praises that were going down. So praising God, this lets us know that praising God brings down God's glory. So the Spirit of God is what makes us to have sweatless victory in any area of our lives. He's the one who gives us the triumph over the battles of life. You know, whenever we are on this higher frequency of praise with God, the Holy Spirit, as when he enables us through the anointing, the Holy Spirit, you know, we find that when we praise God in this way, this our praise will bring down God's presence, and that always results in victory. So we looked at Psalm 149 and verse number 6, which says, "Let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands." That two-edged sword being the word of God. Well, high praises are only possible with the Holy Ghost. When we are saved, we are, you know, we were never really told about, you know, we're never really taught about all these things, you know. And so all we know is that the Holy Spirit is about speaking in tongues and falling out. Most times if you came up, you know, in traditional, Christian setting, we didn't really sing. It's really now the charismatics and everybody, but we didn't really sing songs that would really be high praises. Most times in a church service back in the day, you thought that you were in a funeral because of the type of songs people would sing, you know. And so, you know, we were singing songs that basically we were singing from our level, but those songs didn't, you know, provoke or invoke the presence of God into our midst. We never saw these kinds of miracles that, you know, we read about in the Bible. We never saw these kinds of results because, you know, people didn't know back, you know, didn't really understand or didn't know, or it wasn't being taught. And so, but the Bible clearly says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. You see, there is no possibility of high praises without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is an important factor in everything that we do concerning our Christian life. You know, when you enter into the Holy Ghost dimension of praise, that's when, you know, tears will roll down sometimes, you know, as you sing of God's glory, as you sing of his excellency, you know, that's why Jesus said that he shall glorify me, meaning the Holy Spirit. He will honor and glorify me. Amen. And so when Jesus is glorified through you and I, we end up being glorified with him. And so we have someone to lean on, and his name is the Comforter, the one who is the present commander of the host of heaven in this dispensation right now. So like I said, the Holy Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not in falling or in feeling. It is an experience that reveals itself in the human lifestyle. You can always win without, you know, sweating. You can always have sweatless victory. And that can only be achieved through the instrument of praise. You see, praise is a fundamental requirement for making God take over your battle while you become a spectator. When the Holy Ghost is given access into your life, it's like he turns on a switch in you, and he turns us on to these high praises realm, the realm where, regardless of what's going on, you still give high praises to God. This let the high praises of God be in their mouth is not just words put there. This is a commandment. We need to give God the high praises. And when we begin to give God the high praises that are due to him, we begin, you know, what happens is we begin to execute the judgment that is written in the word of God, meaning that whatever is not supposed to be on you cannot be there. Whatever is not supposed to be, you know, in your life cannot be there. This is how the Holy Spirit makes us comfortable. And that brings us to Psalm 105 and verse 15, where the Bible says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Not speaking in the context of servants of God, but speaking in the context of the anointing. You see, as you begin to praise the name of the Lord in the high praises dimension, the heavens come down to see who is hurting you and render the right judgment upon your enemies. And such was the case with David and his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter. David had just danced before the Lord with all his might, and she condemned him for disgracing himself. She despised him in her heart, and God's judgment fell upon her. She became barren, the only woman who remained barren in the entire scriptures. This account, we can see it from 2 Samuel. Let's go there and read it. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 to 23. It says, "As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent, which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name and presence of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both to men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed to each his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And his wife, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who stripped himself of his kingly robes and uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants, maids as one of the worthless fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself.' David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. Therefore, will I make merry in pure enjoyment before the Lord? I will be still more lightly esteemed than this, and will humble and lower myself in my own sight and yours. But by the maids you mentioned, I will be held in honor.' And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death." You see, so she was judged. God's judgment fell upon her because she despised the fact that David was, you know, dancing before the Lord. So we see that the high praises of God get you and I off of the battlefield, and instead we become reporters of our own battles, while God becomes the combatant and dealing with our enemy. He doesn't need to, you know, to use his fist to give us victory. Just the breath of his nostrils is more than enough to take care of any and every enemy. So when we are anointed, you know, that anointing of God, that anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us. The Psalm 105, verse 15 goes into action. Touch not my anointed. Amen. So anybody who touches you receives the judgment of heaven. So I introduce you to the personality of all personalities, the one that makes living fulfilling and profitable. And his name is the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus told his disciples that it was expedient for them that he went away, he was actually telling them that the Comforter was going to make life so much more exciting and fulfilling. And indeed, he would even cause them to do greater works than he did. We see this in John 14 and verse number 12. He says, let's go to John 14 here. John 14 and verse 12. Jesus speaking here, he says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to my Father. Amen. And so it was expedient for Jesus to leave. Amen. When the Holy Spirit is upon you, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you, things begin to change in your life. You know, there is something happening even right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in a new way today to open men and women up to a new facet of Christian living. You see, we are not to be sympathized with. We are created and destined to be comfortable and become a channel through which comfort is distributed to others. So we find that this anointing, it's not limited to just the high praises. But if we go further, we'll see that, you know, in Song of Solomon, if we go to Song of Solomon, we'll find that in verse 1, Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible speaks of, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now, the word there, virgins, is referring to the brides of Christ. Well, what is this talking about? This is talking again about the anointing. What does the anointing do? The anointing procures favor, the favor of God for us. And so when we read this account, you find that this really is talking about the love of God and the anointing of God. Everyone on this earth, every single individual on this earth, is a candidate for salvation because God does not wish for anyone to perish. And thus, potentially, everyone is a bride of Christ, except that, you know, everybody also has the right of choice whether to accept the bridegroom or to reject him. Otherwise, the invitation is open to all. It's just a matter of choice whether they accept or whether they reject him. In Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, thy name is an ointment poured forth. So when you carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even your name is sweet and creates an expectation. You smell good and you enjoy love from others. This entire verse is talking about favor. You see, love from a second party is favor. The favor that you command depends on the level of the anointing that operates on your life. You see, the fact that you are loved is not because of your looks or your status or your educational background. It is the anointing upon you that compels people to love you in spite of themselves. We see the account of Saul. When Saul was anointed king by Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 10, one of the things that the anointing did for him was to procure favor for him. We see in verse 10, it says, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shall receive of their hands. Amen. So, you know, just him having been anointed, then some of the things, you know, from where in chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2, Samuel said to Saul, when you have left me today, these signs shall follow you. He's telling him about what would happen. Then he says he tells him that, you know, you will meet you when you, first of all, the donkeys you were looking for are found, and your father has quit caring about them and is anxious for you. Then you'll go on from there and you'll meet three men. Verse 3 tells us, going up to God at Bethel. These three men will meet you there, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin or bottle of wine. Verse 4, they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread. This was three men. They each had a loaf of bread. They each, you know, had, you know, a kid, you know, and they had the bottle of wine. But the three who meet you, the one person, will give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. You see, what does that mean? That means these three men he was going to meet were going to salute him or feel kindly disposed towards him and give him gifts. Well, what is that? That is supernatural favor. Not because he talked to them or he asked for anything from them, but because he was clouded with the favor of God by reason of the anointing. So, you see, when you carry the anointing, everywhere you turn, you are welcome. When the people don't see you, they look for you. You see, if you read the Gospels, you'll find that people were always looking for Jesus. He was the most significant personality in his days. You see, it is not sonship to be turned away from every office you go to apply for a job, or every place you go to try and get a contract, and every time they turn you down. It is not sonship. You see, registered sonship is all about honor. Anointing is not in feeling or in tonguing, speaking tongues, that's it. No, it is operating in the realm of the Holy Ghost with evidence. We have reduced this anointing of the Holy Spirit to just speaking in tongues and falling out. That's not what it is. You know, it is operating in the realm of the Holy Ghost. In the, you know, you begin to operate on a supernatural realm with evidence that follows. Without it, you can be a Christian for 30 or more years and not have anything to show for it. You see, nothing pulls down a man more than empty activities. For instance, the lamp that you buy to use in times of darkness, if it has no oil, you may have that lamp, but it has no use. What's its use in darkness? Similarly, if, you know, the bulb that has no current passing through it is equally useless. Why? Because shining light attracts attention, particularly in darkness. You see, light does not seek to be known and recognized, because in a dark world, light is an asset. That is why you and I, when we have the favor of God upon us, that means that our light is shining. Success is a function of favor. Favor from the Lord guarantees success. So if in your place of work you are not well favored, it could affect your promotion prospects negatively. Your file could be hidden or lost, making it impossible for those in authority to assess your performance. But when that ointment, you know, begins to smell good, that anointing upon you begins to, you know, pour forth and smell good, everyone will be running over themselves to please you and to do you good. So check yourself carefully. If nobody seems to want to see you, it is either because you don't carry the oil or because the one you're carrying is stale. It takes only fresh oil to release unprecedented favor with God and with men. So freshen up and let the fresh oil flow. In conclusion, bearing the four outstanding functions of the Comforter in mind, I'd like you to pray and ask our Heavenly Father to help you experience the comforting ministry of the Holy Ghost, spirit, soul, and body. Don't just experience it by speaking in tongues, but experience the comforting ministry of the Holy Ghost, spirit, soul, and body. You see, the Bible says that the Spirit quickens our mortal body. So if there's anything upside down in your life, The same Spirit has power to turn it around and make it work for your comfortable existence. Pray, I urge you, and experience a new release from heaven. You see, some people to this day still wish that Jesus were around physically, but Jesus himself said that the level of comfort enjoyed by his disciples then would fade into mere insignificance compared to the comfort they would enjoy from the Comforter and what we are supposed to be enjoying. You see, the Holy Spirit has so much more to offer us. There are people right now who are, experiencing this type of comfort. People who should be looking down and dreary because of their age. One of my spiritual mentors is in his 80s, but you wouldn't tell that he's in his 80s. You can't tell that he's been down. You can't tell that he's been attacked by people. However, he's always full of joy and praises. And so no wonder he looks young, like he's a little boy. Why? Because joy is like medicine to the body. A broken heart weakens the system, but the joy of the Lord strengthens it. It quickens the mortal body and it refreshes the soul. So we have spoken in tongues. Now we need to experience his person. People who know me know that I'm not the type who carries about prayer requests everywhere that I go. I have so much of the love of God inside me. It's not even enough yet. I cry out for more. I want to learn to love God more. My cry is always circumcise my heart so that I can learn to love you more and more and more. I want to love God so much more than what I'm capable of doing on my own right now. So my cry is to the Holy Spirit to enable me to circumcise my heart, to remove anything from me that might hinder me from loving God in the way that I need to love him. But still, at this moment, I have so much love, so much of the love of God and the fullness of his joy that I'm constantly full of his praises. And I walk in such measure of favor, both with God and with men, that I generally don't have too many prayer requests. Once in a while, I'll request from my prayer intercessors, to pray for the ministry, pray for the ministry partners. I pray for ministry partners daily. I pray for the ministry daily. But pretty much that's generally limited to what I'll ask you to pray for. I generally don't call people to say, oh, pray for me because I'm going through this, I'm going through that. Because to be honest with you, when you are in love with God in this way that, I've shared in the Word, you don't really have many needs, even though the needs are there, but you don't recognize them because God takes care of them. You're not moved by, your needs. You're not, spending all day worrying and stressing and having anxiety about how are we going to pay this or how's this going to happen or how's that going to happen. No, because you know that God will not let you down. You know that God will provide. He's seen ahead. He always knows what you need. And so why waste time focusing on that instead of focusing time, loving on God and giving him the high praises that are due to him. And so when you begin to operate in this realm, you find that you don't have too many prayer requests. So I leave you with this. You have sweated enough. Now you need to be refreshed. The Comforter inside you is not only a tongue talker, but his ministry is also to make you comfortable by making you experience joy, love, praise, and favor. So keep him fresh in your life, and you will live a practically translated life. Appreciate his ministry and release yourself for his fourfold mission. You are not designed to experience heartaches in life, so you need to break loose and break forth. The Comforter is here now. It is time to be comfortable in the hands of God. So loose that flow of joy, love, and the high praises of God, and procure favor from heaven. This fourfold charisma of the Holy Ghost has been longing for expression in you. So give him the opportunity to reveal his ministry of comfort in your life. I pray that you've been blessed by this teaching this morning, and that you will you will apply these principles to your life and see your life turn around for good. God bless you all. Thank you for joining me this week. By God's grace, we'll speak again next week. Be blessed. Bye-bye.